194. Reader's Card. Good morning. How do you do? You have come to exchange books, I suppose.
Yes, I have. Could you recommend something interesting?
Of course I can. But wouldn't you like to look through the catalog yourself?
I rely on your choice. You have already suggested to me quite a number of interesting books, which I have read with the greatest interest.
To tell you the truth, I have forgotten your special interest. There are so many subscribers in our library, it is difficult to remember the taste of each.
In fact, I am interested in everything: fiction, biography, history, travel books.
If you care for fiction, here are some of the latest novels on the counter. I have read most of them. And after you have chosen a writer and title, I can tell you what it's all about. By the way, do you like short stories? If so, I can recommend to you a collection of short stories by John Cheever.
I think I'll choose that book right away.
And which is the second book? You have a right to take two books home, you know.
It strikes me that this novel, A Silver Dish, by Saul Bellow, is what I should like to take.
And perfectly right you are in deciding upon that book. It's very much in demand.
Well, let me have it then. I think these two books are just the thing for me.
You are welcome to them. Please fill in this slip, and I shall write down the books on your reader's card.
Thank you very much for your kind advice. Now I've got something to read for at least a fortnight.
195. A Problem in College Education. In American Indian culture, one of the surest indications of impending disaster was the tribe's decision that, in order to survive, it was necessary to eat the seed corn, in the full knowledge that this doomed the crop of the following year. We face a similar situation in U.S. education in mathematics, physical science, and engineering. To remain competitive in the international marketplace, U.S. industries have recognized that they must attract the brightest, most dedicated young people available, and beginning industrial salaries have risen rapidly to bring this about. Colleges and universities can no longer compete, and there is a growing question about our ability in the 1990s to supply young people in these areas for either industry or education.
196. TOEFL. TOEFL is a short way of saying Test of English as a Foreign Language. It measures a person's ability to understand, read, and write English. TOEFL does not measure how well you speak English, however. The Test of Spoken English does. It is about a 20-minute test that involves speaking English. Many American universities will advise you to take this test if you plan to attend a graduate school. Some universities also will tell you to take yet another test, the Test of Written English. It is a 30-minute test in which you are asked to write in English about something. The test measures your ability to organize information and to express ideas in correct English. Professors of English as a foreign language work with foreign students who come to the United States to study English. They say many foreign students do not know how much writing they must do every week at an American university, and they do not know how much they are expected to talk in class. They say foreign students must do well in writing and speaking English, or their studies in the United States will be extremely difficult.
197. The University I Prefer. Every one of us wants to go to a good university for further study. As far as a good university is concerned, Different people have different ideas. In my opinion, a good university, first of all, should have good professors. The more professors it has, the better it is. Second, a good university should have better facilities with beautiful environment for the students. As can be seen from the table, University A is located in a seaside town near the city. It is convenient for the students who study in such a university. On weekends, they may either go downtown for the things they want to buy or go to the seaside for holidays. But University B is not so ideal as University A. For University B, I suppose, the transportation is not convenient, for it is located in a mountain area. Furthermore, it has far less professors than University A. If it were left to me to choose once again which of the two universities for further study, I would not hesitate a moment to prefer University A. This university, without doubt, would provide me with good teachers, which is a vital help for my future career as well as for my study.
198. It's never too late for success. Some parents worry very much that their children will amount to nothing since they are given to daydreaming, indecision, and they show no promise of being a doctor, lawyer, or manager. Meanwhile, the teenagers themselves also despair of the future and their success, for they are constantly scorned and blamed. But the truth is that many of the greater figures were practically beatniks when they were teenagers. Mozart never showed talent in any direction whatsoever during his formative years until he was 22, when he suddenly became fired with a great passion for music. Edison finally attracted worldwide attention for his great contribution, although his teacher had tried to get him out of the class, saying that his brain was addled. Therefore, it's never too late for success. Teenagers, however disappointing and disappointed, have that one special advantage over the greatest men alive: time. They surely can arrive at the peak of their career in the near future as long as they avail themselves of valuable time and exert themselves to accomplish their share of work carefully and persistently.
199. The English Corner and Me. I like the English Corner for good reasons. I have learned English for some 10 years, but in the past, when I spoke to my English teacher, I often made mistakes here and there. I wondered what would happen if I should run into a native speaker. The English Corner is the ideal place for me to improve my spoken English. Anyway, practice does make sense. With a fairly real situation created, I can now speak quite freely. In the future, I hope I can and will conduct my lectures in English. Moreover, it offers a convenient place for me to make friends. At the English Corner, people of different backgrounds are mixed up. Those who come are from all walks of life, of both sexes, and of various age groups. Although we all speak English, our topics differ from one another. Old people are fond of talking about their children and grandchildren, while youngsters like to say something about their dreams and ideals. In this way, we can acquire other knowledge through English Corner activities. When doctors are talking about diseases, we can learn something about medicine. Isn't the English Corner a place acquiring other knowledge?
200. College life. Usually, we see two types of students: those who are active in school activities, and those who spend more time on their studies and do not take part in school activities. The students who are active in school activities say that it is impossible to keep their health unless they take enough physical recreation. They often cite the saying, "All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy." The students who do not take part in school activities have a different opinion. They argue that art is long, but life is short, and that school life is still shorter. So they have to make the most of their limited school days to learn as much knowledge as they can so that they can be fully prepared to make contributions to the society after graduation. I prefer to be one of the first type because I think good health is important. Facts show that students who are in poor health are less energetic than these who are in good health. Healthy and strong students can absorb knowledge more readily, and a good way to keep us healthy and strong is to go in for activities. When we take part in them, not only our bodies are trained, but also our minds are taken off our work or study for a while and get relaxed. As a result, we become more acute and vigorous, and our studies can be improved.
201. Cheating at examinations. Cheating at examinations is becoming a serious problem. Some students are affected by the idea that money is everything and knowledge is of no use, which is prevalent in society. What they care about, instead of studying hard, is earning money and pursuing comforts. So when the exam comes, they have to resort to cheating to earn a higher grade. To some extent, colleges or universities themselves must bear the blame for their placing more emphasis on grades than on learning. A rigid grading system promotes cheating. Class attendance and performance are not important so long as you pass the final exam. All is well that ends well. Examinations are their only way to measure students' performance. Some measures should be taken to prevent cheating. Schools may help students realize their deceitful behavior. They are, in fact, cheating themselves. Those who still cheat, once found, should be severely punished. Besides, a student's class attendance and performance should be taken into consideration when he is graded.
202. Learning English. As we all know, English is the most widely used language in the world. It's important for us to study English well. But how? I like English as well as maths and physics. At the beginning of my English study, I spent a lot of time in memorizing the grammatical rules of English. I wasn't interested in listening or speaking. Many times, the marks I got in English tests were not as good as those in my maths test, so I decided to change my way of study. From then on, I have begun to pay attention to listening. In my spare time, I often listen to English tapes and watch some English programs on TV. I try my best to grasp the main idea. Reading is an important step in learning English well. I read textbooks and other reading materials. When I am free, I often read English magazines and newspapers. Although there are lots of new words, I often go through what I read without paying much attention to the new words or difficult sentences. In this way, I've improved my reading comprehension. How glad I am! The more I read, the more I understand. The more I understand, the more I read. Recently, I have also been trying to write. Though I often make mistakes, I am not discouraged. I'm determined to study English well. I'm sure I will know it well in the future.
203. My first day at college. September 8, 1991 was my first day at college. Everything on campus appeared especially bright and fresh. Although 13 years have passed, I can still remember that significant day clearly as if it had happened yesterday. In the morning, I went through the registration procedures, got a school badge, a student card, and the textbooks for the first semester. In the afternoon, I attended the orientation program. While touring the campus, we were told the history of the college in which we take pride. We visited the library with a beautifully decorated lobby. We were shown the physics department building and the classrooms where we were going to attend classes. When I lay on bed that night, I thought that at last I was really a college student, and my childhood dream had come true. At the same time, I felt the great responsibility on my shoulder. I was determined to make the most of my college days, to receive education, to cultivate good behavior, to improve my health, and to get rich knowledge so that I could serve my countrymen.
204. A good teacher or not? A good teacher is many things to many people. In my own experience, the people I respect the most and think about the most are those who demanded the most discipline from their students. I miss one teacher in particular that I had in high school. I think she was a good teacher because she was a very strict person. I remember very vividly a sign over her classroom door. It was a simple sign that said, "Laboratory." In this room, the first five letters of the word are emphasized, not the last seven. In other words, I guess, labor for her was more important than oratory, which means making speeches. She prepared her work very carefully and demanded us to do the same. We got lots of homework from her. Once she had broken her arm. Everybody in the class thought that maybe the homework load would be reduced, but it continued just the same. She checked our work by stamping her name at the bottom of the papers to show that she had read them. I think sometimes teachers who demand the most are perhaps liked the least. But as time goes by, this discipline really seems to benefit the students.
205. An actor and a teacher. To be a good teacher, you need some of the gifts of a good actor. You must be able to hold the attention and interest of your audience. You must be a clear speaker with a good, strong, pleasing voice. And you must be able to act what you are teaching, to make its meaning readily comprehensible. Watch a good teacher, and you will see that he does not act just motionless before his class. He stands the whole time he is teaching. He walks about, using his arms, hands, and fingers to help him in his explanation. Listen to him, and you will hear the loudness, the quality, and the musical rate of his voice always changing according to what he is talking about. The fact that a good teacher has some of the qualities of a good actor doesn't mean that he will indeed be able to act well on the stage, for there are very important differences between the teacher's work and the actor's. The actor has to speak words which he has learnt by heart. He has to repeat exactly the same words each time he plays a certain part. Even his movements and the ways in which he uses his voice are usually tried beforehand. What he has to do is to make all these carefully learnt words and actions seem natural on the stage. A good teacher works in quite a different way. His audience take an active part in his play. They ask and answer questions. They obey orders. And if they don't understand something, they say so. The teacher, therefore, has to suit his act to the needs of his audience, which is his class. He cannot learn his part by heart, but must invent it as he goes along.
206. The heavy bags of school children. Have you noticed that the students' bags are growing heavier and heavier, including not only those of the middle school children, but also those of the primary school children? What are inside these bags? In addition to textbooks, there are various kinds of reference books and exercise books bought both by the teachers and the parents. Each day, the students usually spend 2 or more hours in doing their homework, and their parents sometimes would give them some additional work to do. What a heavy burden the children are bearing! Will their study be improved by the heavy bags and homework? It is right that practice makes perfect, yet there should be a limit. Too much pressure may lead to opposite effects. One's energy and time are limited, especially young children. They need to play and amuse themselves. Furthermore, a good student should not only achieve good marks in academic subjects, but also have varied interests and abilities. Teachers and parents should encourage them to cultivate different interests besides their study. We all know that all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I hope that all the teachers and parents could understand the children and give them more free time to enjoy what their age endows them with.
207. Education. The prosperity of a nation depends on the development of education. Any development in science and technology throughout the world is due to the development of education, which brings up scientists and inventors. It is difficult to emphasize just how important the role of education is. There is no doubt that countries with undeveloped education will remain poor. Education is also vital to the development of an individual. Of all elements of success in our careers, none is more important than education. It is not genius, but the knowledge that makes the difference between success and failure. In fact, most of the famous people of our times spent many years studying. Can you hear any great men you admire who are not well educated? Some people, however, are still ignorant of the importance of education. Some parents, especially those in the countryside, think it unnecessary to send their children to school. Some parents have their children work for money at a very young age. In view of this, compulsory education must be enforced to see to it that all young people will have the chance to have adequate education.